different translations of the Bible. He's called True Partner, Living Bible, True Teammate, NIV, Loyal Yoke Fellow, King James Version, True Yoke Fellow. The New King James says True Companion, which takes that phrase from the name Zizagos. Zizagos means companion, helper. Now, we don't know if the man's name that Paul is asking to help had the name Zizagos, but this we do know about him. He was a fellow worker with Paul. He was a person of prayer. He was trustworthy. He was mature in the Lord. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. He had the ability to work with others, and in so doing, he was able to help people come together. We believe he probably was one of the elders of the church at Philippi. Here's the bottom line. This man was gifted by God to serve the people of God. You know, as we go through our spiritual lives, sometimes, I shouldn't say sometimes, many times, our brothers and sisters in Christ don't know how they've been gifted to serve the Lord. And that's sad. God has gifted every believer in Christ with a gift or gifts for the purpose of serving the Lord. This gift is not to be kept to ourselves where we hoard it. Neither is it to be used as a badge where we use our gift as a display of how wonderful we are. The gifts he gives are for his glory and for the building up of the body of Christ. As I studied this passage of Scripture, I thought how awesome it is that in the midst of this difficulty, the Apostle Paul had somebody on whom he could call who knew his gift and was using it correctly, and Paul could say to him, "Brother, I need your help. I'm away from there. You're with the family. Would you please bring these women together so that they work together?" How? In the Lord. In the Lord. For the glory of the Lord. For the building up of the body of Christ. For a testimony for Jesus in the world. So I guess another question we have tonight. This man could be depended upon to help others. And I have a question here for me as well as for you. Can we too be depended upon in a time of spiritual need to minister to the needs of others? Can we too, in a time of spiritual need, be depended upon to help others? Well, we need to understand that how we interact with each other as a church family sends out a signal to the immediate community around us. We may not think it does, but it does. When we're out in the community, they find out from us who we represent, what we're all about, and how we treat one another. Now, why do I say this? I've heard, I don't know how many times, men go to the barbershop, and they not only talk about the family, they talk about their church. And sometimes some of the things they bring up there aren't very what? Nice. Women go to the beauty shop, or you talk to somebody over the counter at the grocery store, or your neighbors. We give a signal to those outside these walls who we represent, what we think of one another, and how we have a part in taking place in the community, namely ministering. We send out a signal. The Apostle Paul wanted these dear people to understand that as a body of believers, individually and collectively, they had a testimony to their community. We have a testimony to our community. But then thirdly, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul says, next, rejoice in Christ. Look at verse 4, please. He goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Again, isn't it amazing that this word rejoice is in Paul's vocabulary? He's in prison. He has no freedom, and yet he is rejoicing. He's in prison, but he's rejoicing in Christ. Now, today we ask, how could Paul say this knowing that the believers in Philippi were also suffering persecution for their faith in Christ. May I share with you that Paul could tell them to rejoice in the Lord because of something very wonderful. He had learned himself what it meant to humble himself before the Lord in a time of difficulty so that the Lord could help him. What he did is he's wanting them to understand that our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Let me say it again. Our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Paul was full of joy, and he wanted these dear people to also be full of joy. As I thought of this, I couldn't help but think of the Apostle Peter. Peter is oftentimes maligned because he denied the Lord, and that was wrong. We cannot get away from that. He denied the Lord in a moment of testing. Instead of looking to the Lord for strength, he looked inside himself and he failed, as I have, as we all have. But there were times when Peter really stood strong, stood firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I thought of what Paul is talking about here, standing firm, standing together, rejoicing, I couldn't help but remember what happened in John chapter 6. Remember there Jesus fed 5,000 men plus their families with what? 5 loaves, 2 little fish. And the people were just joyous that they had their needs met. But the next day Jesus was telling them more about himself, and they had a hard time understanding. It was so hard that they begin to walk away from him. So he turns to Peter, and this is what happens in John 6. Interestingly, 6:66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." In the midst of that difficulty, 5,000 men, probably 5,000 women, 2,000 children, 12,000 people milling around, and the leaders among them say, "What you're saying, Jesus, is too hard for us to understand. We're going our own way." That was a test for the 12. Peter stands firm, and as he stands firm and acknowledges who Jesus Christ is, he not only tells that Jesus is his answer, but he is the one that he can rejoice in the midst of a difficult situation. Paul wanted these dear people to realize, even though you're in a difficult situation, you too can rejoice in the Lord. So here's Peter before the Lord is crucified and rose again. He understands, he stands firm, he rejoices in Christ. Now after the Lord Jesus has gone back to heaven, the Apostle Paul receives Christ as his Savior. He's standing firm in the Lord. He's rejoicing in the Lord even though he's in prison. And now he's passing it on to these dear people in Philippi who are also being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. It's something that keeps on going and growing within the family of God. I have another question for us tonight. Who are we sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with? Who are we sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with? Who within the family of God are we encouraging in things spiritual? Our children, our grandchildren, our nephews, our nieces, are we encouraging them to know the Word of God? How about outside of the family of God? Are we sharing with them who Jesus Christ is? Dear people, we live in a troubled world. You know that. And the way people try to handle their difficulties is absolutely beyond description. They're looking for something, and they can't find it. We, as the family of God, have found what they're looking for. And his name is what? Jesus. They need to hear that, and they need to see that in us when in the midst of our difficulty, we are rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We had Father's Day several weeks ago, and I had the privilege, how can I say this? I had the privilege of being taught by my 38-year-old son. You know, we are in a period of transition here. Transition not only for the church family, but transition for me as we look at how things are going to work out here. And I've shared my concerns with my son, David, father of our three youngest grandkids. And I've had concern. And he got back to me on Father's Day with a long, long text, and he reminded me, "Dad, do you remember what you taught us while we were growing up? Do you remember how you encourage us to stand true to God's Word, to let the Holy Spirit encourage us, to let Him help us, to rejoice when things are not as you would want them? Dad, do you remember?" And then he closed it off with this, "Dad, God has your back." I got taught by my boy. That was awesome. I got taught by my son. "Dad, Jesus has your back." I can rejoice knowing I'm not in this alone. You're not in it alone. Now, think with me for a moment, then I'm going to close. What happens to the child of God if we let difficulty overwhelm us? It's a downward progression. Difficulty, if dwelt upon, leads to discouragement. Discouragement, then persisted in, can lead to depression. Depression not rooted out and given to the Lord Jesus can lead to defeat. And may I share with you, that's exactly where our enemy, the devil, wants us to be, in a place of defeat. It begins when our eyes are off of Christ in the midst of the difficulty, rather than rejoicing that He is with us and for us. And if I persist in it, depression has a way of coming in. And then we stay there and we're defeated. And Satan says, I've got him right where I want him. What happens to the child of God that's in a stage of defeat? Several things. Number one, they forget the joy of the Lord. God wants us to be joyful. Secondly, we do not have that ringing, clear testimony to others of who Jesus Christ is. Thirdly, we're not able to be an encouragement to others within the family who may be going through similar things and looking for somebody within the family to come alongside of them and say, "May I be of help to you? May I pray for you?" Yes, rejoicing in the Lord is something that is very, very important to the individual believer in Christ and to the family of God collectively. Let me close with this. Philippians 3:1 says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write this same thing to you again." Notice, it is a safeguard for you. Why is it a safeguard to rejoice in the Lord? Keeps our eyes on Christ rather than on the problem. Keeps us from looking for our own way out, and then we look to the Word of God, seeking to try to handle it all on our own rather than coming to the family of God and humbly admitting to one another, "Dear brother, dear sister, I need your help. Would you pray with me?" Rejoicing in the Lord is a safeguard for the family of God. I do not know what you're going through. We know what we're going through. May we all rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not alone, are we? He's there with us. He has everything under His control. He invites us to look to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that you have all the answers that we could possibly ever want. No, you don't give us these answers exactly when we want them, but you give us the answers when we need them. Our part is to continue to look to you, to not let these things get us down, but to continually have our eyes and our hearts upon you and your word. Lord, I don't know what these dear friends may be going through tonight. You do. I pray, dear Lord, that in the midst of their difficulty, that they would come to you. And even though at this moment the difficulty may not change, they can rejoice in that they know you are with them. You have their back, and you're going to guide them as they continue to look to you. Heavenly Father, may we allow you to have your will and your way in our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.